Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine, and for this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter, and happy Pentecost. It's hard to believe that we are still celebrating Easter. Easter is a celebration of 50 days, and Pentecost marks the end of those 50 days. One of the symbols of Pentecost, or the Holy Spirit, when we hear about how the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples of our blessed Lord, it descended like tongues of fire and rested on their heads. And so if you've ever seen the bishop, as the bishop wears his mitre, you know, that point that everybody says, the pointy hat, it is supposed to represent those flames of fire that rested on the heads of the apostles. And the bishop is known as a successor of the apostles. Also, we wear today for Pentecost, the color is red. Most people associate the color of red vestments with the blood of a martyr, someone who has spilled their blood for their faith in testimony to their belief. But red is also the color of Pentecost because of that color of the fire of the Holy Spirit. I think that probably every one of us at some point in our lives has wondered if I would be better off if I had lived, 2,000 some odd years ago. If I would have had the experience of living in the time of our blessed Lord, would my faith be all the better for it? We might think that I would be stronger in my faith if I had heard a sermon preached from our Lord's mouth himself. Maybe the power of his words would have the power to open my heart more fully to God the Father's love for each of us. And we remember that Jesus' words had the power to move people. The soldiers were sent into the temple area to arrest Jesus. And they heard his voice, and they went back to the high priest empty-handed. And when the priest questioned the soldiers, and they said, "Why didn't you arrest him?" They said, "Because we have never heard anyone speak like that man spoke." So Jesus' words had the power to arrest people's hearts. We might be tempted to think that if I could witness one of the great miracles that Jesus performed, the raising of Lazarus, or the healing of a leper, or some other healing of the many miracles that Jesus did, if I could witness that power, maybe it would be much easier for me to believe in the divinity of Jesus. Or if we could maybe have that experience of being touched by him, or to touch just the tassel of his clothing as the woman who did so was healed. I think we should probably not think of ourselves that if I lived in the time of Jesus, that I would have a stronger faith than even the apostles. And so Jesus, in his words that he spoke at the Last Supper, he said, "It is better that I should go, because if I go, then the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, will come and would reveal to you many more truths concerning me." And so Jesus himself says that it is better that he should go and depart. And maybe there could be spiritual blessings, things that we would have if we had lived in the time of Jesus himself. But we live in a blessed time, a time when the Holy Spirit is present in the world in a way that it never was if he had never left. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for Jesus to be present in the heart of every believer. And the Holy Spirit manifests in the heart of every believer all of the excellent things that the Lord places in our hearts, and the gifts and the charisms the Lord has given for the building of his church. And these are things that we are called to do for our love for God and to give testimony to him. I suppose that if we believe that we would be we would have understood Jesus' divinity better than the apostles did had we lived in that time, it would be a kind of sort of vanity. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach us all sorts of truths, that he will reveal Jesus to us. You know, it's a mysterious thing. I find why one person has faith and belief and another one doesn't. Sometimes we see it in our own families. One family member goes to church and believes in God, and another one doesn't. I think God, because he loves us and desires our love to be free, he gives us the free choice. But there are things that we can do to invite the Holy Spirit to fill us. And when the Holy Spirit fills us, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal Jesus in our hearts in many different ways. Our Lord himself told us to seek, to knock, and we shall find, and the door shall be opened to us. Our Lord bade us, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and we will come to you and make our dwelling within you." And so if we seek the Lord, if we knock at the door, at the Lord's heart, if we keep his commandments, these are things that invite the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who will come and reveal truths to our heart. It's interesting, I think, to see how some people will understand things of God or things of faith where others don't. And the reason is that they don't have the Spirit. Have you ever been at a table where a bunch of like-minded people were having a discussion and you felt like you didn't fit in? Like maybe it was a table of engineers and they're all talking engineer jargon and you have no idea what they're talking about. Well, that's because you don't have the Spirit of an engineer. I was talking with one of my priest friends about photography. We were talking about aperture and shutter speed and ISO and luminescence, noise reduction, the rule of thirds, triangle rule, and people were looking at us saying, "We have no idea what you're talking about." So, because you don't have the Spirit of a photographer. And so it is also with the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then it doesn't make sense to you. And so the Spirit comes to us and reveals Jesus to us in different ways. St. Paul says, "No one can say that Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit led them to this belief, to this understanding." And so the Holy Spirit is important to reveal truths to us, especially the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of who Jesus is. Jesus says that he reveals the Father. Remember at the Last Supper, Philip said, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said to Philip, Philip, have I been with you for so long, and still you do not understand? If you see me, you see the Father. The Father and I are one. And so too the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives testimony and speaks to us about Jesus. And if we have the Holy Spirit within us, we begin to see that Jesus is now present in the world in a much more powerful way than he was ever present to the apostles. And so do not say that you would be better off if you had lived in the time of Jesus, because we have something now, the Holy Spirit, which makes it possible for Jesus to live in our heart. And all of the excellence of our Lord can be found in the heart of a believer. Jesus is glorified mainly in two ways. In the ascension of our Lord, he goes home to his Father on the clouds of glory and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and this brings glory to the Son. But he is also glorified in the hearts of all who believe in him. Whenever you do some beautiful thing, beautiful act of charity, beautiful act of courage because of your faith, all these things glorify the Lord because he is glorified in his saints. I heard a sermon by Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who spoke as the Holy Spirit as an artist. An artist reveals some beauty on the canvas, and the canvas is the canvas of our lives. And if we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit can reveal Christ to us, but can also reveal Christ to the world through our faith, through the way we live, our example, the virtues that we practice. And so with each stroke of the brush, some beautiful thing about Jesus is revealed in our lives. When we sin, it's like we take the brush out of the hand of the Holy Spirit, and let me show you how to do this. And we usually mess up the artwork, right? I know I would. And so the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Christ to us, but also wants to make Christ present to the world in a much more powerful way than when he was here, by making Jesus present everywhere in the visible world, in the hearts and lives of Christians. Our Lord also said that the Holy Spirit would convict us of sin. Now, as we believe in Christ, a sin is not merely the breaking of a divine law. I mean, it is that. But for the Christian, we are really above sin. When we sin, it's not so much that we are breaking a divine law, but that we are offending someone whom we love. When we say the act of contrition, we say, I have sinned against you, whom I love above all things. And so when we sin against the person whom we love. The Holy Spirit will reveal our sins to us. And I think all of this is related to the crucifixion of our Lord. The scriptures tell us that when Jesus died on the cross, that he took upon himself the sin of all of mankind. And so if we look at the crucifixion, we see an autobiography there of our own sin revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. All of our sin is present in his woundedness. You think of all the sins in the world as committed because of man's pride. All those sins in the world because somebody thinks they are better than another person, they deserve more. And all the atrocities committed. Look at the crown of thorns. You can think of all the sins in the world because of avarice. The greed of man trying to take more than his fair share. Love of money. Grasping for power. We see his hands are nailed to the cross. We think of all the sins against love. the failure to love. And we see his pierced heart. We think of all the ways that mankind has run away from God, run away from a life of grace, tried to escape that which they should do. And we see his pierced feet. We think of all the ways that we sin in our flesh, the ways that people abuse their own bodies or the bodies of others. And we see his nakedness in the crucifixion. He was naked. We clothed him with our art. We see his nakedness. We see his bruised body and his torn flesh. And so if we look at the crucifix through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we can see all of the sins present in his wounds. Paul says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." And this is the goal of every Christian, that it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ living in me, so that I can make Christ present to the world, so that Christ's presence dwelling in my heart can be present and witnessed in the world. You know, not long ago, I had a person come to confession. It was a great confession. Don't ask me what they said. But I remember asking them, it had been a very long time since they had been to confession. I said, what brought you here? Why did you come today of all days? They said, I don't know. I said, it was the Holy Spirit. Either that or your guardian angel opened the door and pushed you in. The Holy Spirit leads us to the truth, leads us to Jesus, but we need to seek, we need to knock, we need to follow Jesus' commands so that we love him and then he abides in us. Listen to the words of our blessed Lord before he ascended to his Father. He offered a prayer. He prayed that the Father would sanctify us in truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, so also I have sent them into the world. And not only for them do I pray, but for those who through their word shall believe in me, that they may be one, as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us, and that the Holy Spirit will reveal Christ to the world through us. Amen.